We thank Almighty God for the sparing of each and every one of our lives this morning. We come, Heavenly, realizing that Heavenly Father has been mighty good to all of us. We thank God that He blessed us to arrive here safely to this place of worship. And we realize that it wasn't because that we were so good or that we were so careful that we arrived here safely. It is because of God's grace. And so we come this morning to thank God for all of His goodness. Even in these times of sorrow that were mentioned earlier, God is still good. And He's good all the time. The Bible teaches us in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 11, the Bible says that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any minister, let him do it with the ability that God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom to be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So this morning, brothers and sisters and friends, we hope this morning through the preaching of the gospel that God will get the glory and each and every one of you will be edified from the preaching of God's word. I have a text this morning coming from the old book of Psalms. And my subject is, as for God, as for man, and as for me. I want to deal with these three passages of scriptures in the old book of Psalms here. Psalms chapter 18 and verse 30. And Psalm 103 verses 15 through 16. And Psalm 17 and verse 15. I want to read these three passages of scripture together so we can see the similarity of the beginning of each one of these passages of scriptures. Notice in the book of Psalms 18 and verse 30, it says, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, and He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. Psalm 103 and verse 15 and 16 says, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Psalms 17 and verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in the night, in thy righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. What a beautiful verse. I want to let these passages of scripture serve as our scripture reading this morning, but before we go any further into this lesson, we always count it as a blessing as well as an opportunity to always petition the throne of God. At this time, let us humble ourselves while the one has been selected to lead us in prayer. The scriptures that were just read, as for God, in Psalms 18 and 30, as for man, and Psalm 103, 15 and 16. And as for me, Psalm 17 and verse 15. As we look at these passages of scriptures, as for God, what about God? And as for man, what about man? And as for me, What about me? We have to start in the right place. I can't start as for me or as for man. We have to start with God. The Bible teaches us that God's book, the Bible, in Genesis 1 and verse 1 starts with, "In the beginning, God." And that is the right place that we have to start. We have to start with God. Notice what the Bible says once again. It says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that put their trust in him." As for God, he is God. There was a preacher preaching one day, and he says that as he was preaching, he said, "I feel pretty good this morning." He said, "I feel like going back." And so he had someone in the audience that was fired up from his message, and they said, "Go on back, preacher." He said, "I feel like going back before the flying clouds." They said, "Go on back." So we like that kind of preaching. He said, "I feel like going back before there was a when and a where." He said, "Keep going on back. We like that." He said, "I feel like going back before there was a then and a there." They said, "Go on back." He said, "I feel like going back before God." He said, "Mm-mm. You can't go back that far. But go on back." But you see, you got some smart people in this world. You got some people that are theologians, and they're very smart people. And they have gone to these, what I call, cemetery schools. And some think that they can go back further than God. Brothers and sisters, we cannot go back further than God. Because God is life. It is through him that you and I have this life. It's through God that we breathe and we move and we have our being. God is God. And some of you probably do not remember this. It was back in the 60s. At the College of Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, a professor taught his students that life was not essential to God, that God was dead. And a lot of those students believed that philosophy, and they swept this country with that philosophy, God is dead. Started at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. But you know, they tell me, someone once said that once a new idea invades a vacant mind, it has its glorious time. Those students at Emory University didn't know that that statement about God was dead had already been said over 100 years ago. By a person, a professor in Germany, by the name of Friedrich Nietzsche. Nietzsche already had made that statement that God was dead. And someone say that there was a sign in New York City that says, "Nietzsche is alive and God is dead." And then later on, when Nietzsche died, someone else put another sign up, said, "Nietzsche is dead and God is alive." Sign God. They put that sign up. Brothers, sisters, and friends, I want you to know this morning that God is alive. He's alive today. God is God. God is a God that is the same today as he was yesterday. He never changes. God is a God that He's not like man that he should lie, or the Son of Man that he needed repentance, because he is God. He's perfect. He doesn't change. The Bible says there is no shadow of turning in him. God is light. So we look at this lesson this morning when we talk about God. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms chapter 18 and verse 30, he says that his way is perfect. We serve a perfect God. And I thank God that he has provided a way for us that is perfect. The great plan of salvation. I want to read this passage of scripture in the book of St. John, chapter 14. And verse 6 is what I really want to get to. But I want to read verse 1 down to verse 6, St. John, chapter 14. I want to notice something here. St. John, chapter 14. And I start with verse 1. This is Jesus talking. The King James Version, this is in red. This is Jesus speaking. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believed in God, believe also in me." He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you," he said, "I will come again and receive unto you unto myself, and that where I am, there ye may be also." Notice what he says in verse 4. He said, "And whether I go, ye know the way." And the way, he said, "And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." And the Bible tells us that one of the disciples, Thomas, said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way." Jesus is the way. God has provided us a perfect way, and Jesus is that way. He said, "Not only am I the way," he said, "I am the truth, and I am the life." God has provided this way for us. And he tells us that his way is perfect. We don't have to improve upon anything that the Bible teaches us. God's way is always perfect. In the book of Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, "Every word of God is pure, and he's a shield to them that put their trust in him. So add not to his word, lest he reproves you and you be found a liar." God said he is a buckler. And that word buckler is a protector of all those that put their trust in him. Notice something else about God. The Bible says, Jesus says, "I am the way." He said, "the truth and the life." In the book of St. John chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus tells us something. He says that, he says, "Search the scriptures." He said, "You think that you have eternal life, and you will find that they testify of me." When we search these scriptures, we're going to run into Jesus Christ. He is the way. And if Jesus is the way, then that knocks out all of these other religions, if he is the way. And we agree with Peter. In the book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, but there's none other name given to men under heaven whereby we must be saved." No other name has God given unto men on earth for us to be saved by other than the name Jesus Christ. No other name. And if that's the only name that we are to be saved by, is it asking too much for men to wear the name the Church of Christ? Because that's the only name that God has given us whereby we must be saved. As for God, he is God. And the Bible tells us that he is a perfect God. Let us move on into this lesson this morning. I lost my train of thought here. But there was a revolution, a French revolution. And this French revolution, an atheist started this revolution. And this atheist destroyed all the symbols of religion. They burned the Bibles. They burned all the crosses. They turned all the church building into museums. And they asked the question. They were trying to destroy Christianity. They said, now that all of the churches have been turned into museums, and all the Bibles have been burned, and all the crosses have been burned, the atheist asked a child of God, said, what are you going to have to remember or to remind you of God? And a child of God says, yes, you have burned all the Bibles. You have burned all the crosses. You have destroyed all the church buildings. But what are you going to do about the sun? What are you going to do about the moon? What are you going to do about the stars? The Bible says that they are God's righteousness. They declare God's righteousness. And all the mountains and the streams and the rivers and the ocean, they declare God's handiwork. And I tell us something this morning, if we ever get to the point where we don't want to say amen, the rocks will say amen. They declare God's handiwork. Brothers and sisters, God is God. And whether people want to believe it or not, he's God. And God tells us this morning that he really don't need us to be God. He's God. God doesn't need people to be God. He tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 50, in verse 12. He said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. He said, the cow on a thousand hills, they are mine. The world, this whole world and everything therein is mine. And they declare God's handiwork. God doesn't need people to be God. He's God. And let me move on. When it comes to man, as for man, what about man? The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, and we read these passages of scripture here, the book of Psalms chapter 15, verse 15 and 16, Psalm chapter 3. But I want just to, before that we go to Psalms chapter 103 and 15, I want to pick up verse 13. Notice what the Bible says. Psalm 103, verse 13. He says, like as a father pitied his children, so the Lord pitied them that fear him. Verse 14. For he knoweth our frame. He remembered that we are dust. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. The Bible teaches us that God remembered us and our frame, that it is as dust. And he pitied us. What kind of pity is that? He pitied us just like a mother and father pitied their children. You know, when our children get to the point where they think that they know more than we, and they come to us and they say, well, Mom and Dad, you just don't understand. And we say, child, you just don't know. Because we know they don't know. That's how God pitied us. He remembered that we are just dust. You know what that means? That we're not going to be here long. We're just dust. The Bible tells us that we're just dust. And God remembered that, and he pitied us. And when we are dust, we came from dust. And we're going back to dust. God, remember that. The Bible tells us that we are just like that flower that flourishes. Although that flower is flourishing, yet it is dying. And so is man. And that's what we have to remember. The Bible tells us that we are just like that flower. And the Bible tells us, let me give another passage here in the book of Psalm chapter 90. It deals with aging. And I want to just for us to look at this Psalm chapter 90 and read a passage of scripture there. Psalm chapter 90, and I'll start with verse 1. The Bible says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Psalms chapter 90. He said, before the mountains were brought forth, even ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He said, thou turnest men to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. He said, for 1,000 years in thy sight are as but as yesterday when it passed, as it is a watch in the night. The Bible says 1,000 years with God is just like a watch in the night. 1,000 years is one day with God. And one day is 1,000 years with God. Notice what it says. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, as they are all as sheep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourishes and groweth up. And in the evening it is cut down and withered. He said, for we are consumed by thine anger. By thy wrath we are troubled. The Bible says, thou hast set our iniquity before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. He said, for all of our days are passed away in wrath. We spend years as a tale that is told. So the days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength, labor, they are 4. So yet their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. He says, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. He says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days. And what the Bible means by that is, teach us to use our time wisely. Because we're not going to be here alone. And that's why that we need to make sure of our calling is sure. These passages teaches us that we're just like that flower in the morning. And I say to the children, the children in their lifetime, they are in the morning. Then we grow and we become children of noon. And as we grow older, we become children of the night. I just want to say to the children in the morning, it's not promised that you'll make it to the noon. But when we make it to the evening, we can look back at the noon. And we can realize and appreciate the noon of the morning when we make it. So I want us to know this morning that, you see, it's a blessing to grow old. A lot of people don't make it. And we can look at it as a blessing. Yes, we're going to have problems. We're going to have medical issues because we are fading. We're just like that flower that flourishes. But then there come a time that the flower dies. Just like us, we are flourishing, but yet we are dying. And so we have to understand this morning, as the Bible teaches us to number our days, is to use our time wisely, because we are aging. There's a story that was told that there were 3 sisters living together, and they were aging. And so one decided that she was going to go upstairs and take a shower. She go upstairs, and she forgot what she went up the stairs for. So she called downstairs to her sister. She said, One of you girls come up and help me and say, I forgot what I came up here for. And so one sister started up the stairs to help her. And she forgot what she was going up there for. And the sister that was sitting downstairs watching TV, she said, you know what, both of you all are losing your mind. She said, I'm so glad I got my mind, knock on wood. He said, was that the front door or the back door? See, your children, you may laugh at that, but my advice to you is just keep living. You're going to experience some of that. I remember as I reached the senior citizen mark, my aunt told me, she said, boy, see, you're getting on up there where the happenings are now. And now I can see what she was talking about. We're going to be up sometime and we're going to be down. But God is the still God of the hills and of the valleys. We need to just put our trust in him. Because the Bible says he is a buckler to those that put their trust in him. All right, then let's look at me. We talked about as for God and as for man, what about me? Well, brothers, sisters, and friends, Jesus is still the answer. In spite of all these things that we might hear out here, Jesus is still the answer. The Bible tells us in these passages of scriptures, notice what it says in Psalm 17 and verse 15. It said, as for me, he said, I will behold thy face in righteousness. He said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You know, that reminds me of the book of 1 John, chapter 3 and verse 2. John says, behold, he said, beloved, he said, now we are the sons of God. And it has not yet appeared what we shall be. But we know when we see him, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Isn't that beautiful? Is to know that one day that we will see Jesus Christ as he is. The answer is still Jesus. The Bible tells us, remember the story of Joshua? And remember the story that he told about serving God. But I want to just, before I get to that, I'm just going to mention this. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says that, he said, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That's where salvation is. It is in God's Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul said, he endured all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. In conclusion, just let me just say this. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, I'm quite sure we all are familiar with those passages of scriptures. Joshua, we're talking to the people of God. And he asked this question. He says, are you going to serve the gods before the flood that our forefathers served, those idol gods? And he said, are you going to serve the gods, those small g gods of the Amorites in the land where you are dwelling now? He said, are you going to serve those gods? He said, and if it seem evil for you to serve the Lord, he said, you choose this day in whom you will serve. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know what Joshua was saying? He said, I don't know what these other people are going to do, but I know what we're going to do, me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. That is the decision that you and I make each day, is to whom that we will serve. And this lesson is yours, as for man. brothers and sisters and friends, Jesus is still the answer. And God has provided this perfect way for us, his perfect plan of salvation. He tells us that we must hear his word. After hearing his word, we must believe it. And after believing it, we must repent. And after repentance, we must make the good confession. The good confession is, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the good confession. And after confession, we're to be buried in the watery grave of baptism to have our sins washed away. And I'll tell you something about baptism. Because the devil don't want people really to know about baptism. He knows that when you follow God's plan of salvation and you baptize scripturally, he knows that he has no power over us. So he don't want people to know about baptism. This is what a lot of people don't know, and this is what a lot of people have been deceived to believe. The Bible says in Mark 16 and verse 16, says that he that believeth. Now notice something. The world teach, this is the only thing that you have to do is just believe and you're saved. That's what the world teach. Just believe and you're saved. But they forget about this word, A-N-D. This is the connecting conjunction. There's something else that goes with that scripture. You can't leave the and out. It's connecting to something else. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. World don't teach that. But this is God's perfect plan of salvation. Then once we have been baptized in the watery grave of baptism, and we have stumbled and made mistake, we are to repent, make the confession, and ask for the prayers of the righteous, that we might be restored to the fellowship of God. At this time, while we stand and sing the chosen selection, if anyone is subject to the gospel in any manner, we may make the good confession.